Hi, thank you, Fred. This is James Sagerton, Chair of the National Finance Committee. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for November 10th, 2020. We believe we have a quorum. Mr. Secretary, will you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams? Teresa J. Allen?
Present.
Nick Arena?
Present.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey? Dwayne Lark? R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Nancy Sorden? Polina Vasilyev?
Present.
Okay, that's seven.
Very good. Next item is to adopt the agenda. ARPO, would you like to read it or shall I?
I'm just downloading it now.
Okay. I'll go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Is number one. Number two is roll call. Number three is adopt the agenda. Number four is the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five is the ICFO report with Anita Sims. Since we don't have the October financials yet, as is common for this time frame, Anita will discuss cash flow at the station level, the lack of central services payments to the national office, and outstanding payables from the national office. 15 minutes for report, 30 minutes for Q&A. Number six is central services formula, 30 minutes. I note the absence of Chris Corey, who's doing that, so we may skip over that one. Number seven, it has been suggested by Affiliate Director Robin Collier that the monthly financials that are now simultaneously copied to the NFC, the IED, the PNB officers, and the GMs should also be copied at the same time to Ursula. We're going to just have some discussion on that. Number, I didn't put a time in for that. Let's say 5 minutes. Number eight is reports from the stations on the budget timeline progress, starting where we left off last time. That's 5 minutes, just a quick response. And number nine is old business. This is a motion for a moratorium on central services from KPFT, from Director Dwayne Lark. He is not with us yet, so perhaps we'll pass over that and put that onto the next agenda. Then we have new business. We have the SCA income accounting and credit towards central services for that income. We're trying to locate this motion that came out of the WBAI Finance Committee, went to the LSB, WBAI-LSB, then to the PNB, and was referred back to the committee. We've been having a little trouble locating it. The secretary is unable to find it. The board, the national board secretary, the committee secretary is looking for it as we speak. And we'll see if he can come up with it, but we can also discuss it in general if need be without it in front of us. We'll just won't be able to take any specific action. And number 11 is adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So, is our there... Call. Yes, our call.
All right. I move to amend the agenda. Move to amend the agenda by adding a new five, approval of minutes.
Aha. Shall we bump all the other numbers down, or should we make that a 4A or a 5A?
No, that would be not a good idea. I mean,
okay.
Give it a whole thing. Otherwise, it makes no sense. So, yes, it would five, approval of minutes, and make that for, like, 5 minutes.
Okay, and then all the other numbers will bump down one.
Well, they'll they'll increment one.
Yes. a better word, I guess.
So, Arpal, you intend this to be right after the chair's announcements, the approval minutes.
Where I put them in. Yeah, approval of minutes after chair's announcements.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
Well, did we approve the amendment?
Well, we didn't. I thought we were just adding that prior to approving anything, but okay. Do we have to approve the agenda first and then amend it?
No. Okay. There's a main motion on the floor, and this is an amendment to that motion. So.
Okay. So we'll vote on the amendment.
We just vote on the amendment, and then we can vote on the main motion as amended.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Now we go to the main motion. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we have adopted the agenda. I'll go to chair's announcements, make this quick. IED Lydia Brazan will be unable to join us tonight. She is working on the all-day nationally mandated fund drive for November 17th. Director Chris Corey will be unable to join us. The following resolution was passed by the Pacific National Board, PNB, at the October 29th, 2020 PNB meeting. The PNB requests that the LSB submit a proposed draft fiscal year 2021 budget within 2 weeks to the NFC. If a budget is not submitted within 2 weeks, the NFC will begin to create a budget for the stations based on available financial data. And the motivation for this was having budgets in place is important as a general principle of good business practice and for addressing the pending necessity of paying down, refinancing, or extending the quote-unquote big loan. It has been suggested by affiliate director Robin Collier that the monthly financials that are now simultaneously copied to the NFC, the IED, the PNB, officers, and the GMs should also be copied at the same time to Ursula from the affiliates. We'll discuss that. That's an item on the agenda. And the rest of this is old information from previous announcements. So no need to repeat. So that's it for the chair's announcements. Now we can go to approving the minutes. Arpal?
Okay. All right, let me put that in there. Okay, I move that we approve the minutes of the, October 8th, the October 8th, 2020 NFC meeting. Wait, no, it wasn't October 8th. Pardon me, I'm looking for stuff and finding, okay, October 13th. I move that we approve the October 13th minutes.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair, I request that you send me those minutes since all year I haven't been part of the Yahoo group that was set up. So I don't object to approving them, but I would like to see them.
Understood. I will do that. Dwayne, nice to hear you have with us.
Yeah, I've been with you. I just had no reason to speak at this point.
Okay, I've made a note of that. If I don't follow through, feel free to remind me, but I have made a note of it. Okay, let's go on to the next item, which is the ICFO report.
Did that pass?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think there was any objection.
Okay.
Was there any objection? I think Dwayne said he did not object. He was just asking to see them. So, yes, I believe there was no objection. I just didn't declare it passed.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I reserve the right for any corrections as
of course
provided once I see them. Thanks.
Of course, yes. And those minutes are always available for correction or additions in the future as appropriate. Okay, Anita, we're up to your report.
The other motion is to approve the minutes of the October 27th meeting.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
That's the motion to approve the October 27th minutes.
Is there any objection? Assuming with the same caveat from Duane.
Same caveat, yes.
Yes. Hearing no objection, those minutes are approved with that caveat. Okay, is that all, our Paul?
That's it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all the work. It's a lot of work doing the minutes. We appreciate it.
Sharon is here, just to let you know I'm on the call now, James.
Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate that. I knew you were going to come late, so I didn't make any note of it. So thank you for announcing your presence. And now we can go to the ICFO report with Anita Sims. Thank you for your patience, Anita.
Not a problem. Thank you. Hopefully, all of you have received email that I sent out about 7 p.m. tonight. It's really the report that shows where we stand with the central services payments and also the outstanding accounts payable from the national office. If you do have it in front of you, I just wanted to kind of highlight a couple of things off of the Pacifica station payments, central services. Again, we show about $270,000 unpaid from 2019, about $486,000 from unpaid 2020, and so far $181,000 unpaid from 2021. So outstanding is about $938,000. And we provide, of course, the details. So, again, hopefully you've had an opportunity to look at it. And we can always come back to it if you have some questions after my report. There's also PRA Central Services outstanding, about $160,000. Some benefit costs. Also on the same report of about $59,000, and then payroll that is still outstanding back of about $154,000. Any questions so far on that? Again, you can certainly ask me after you've had an opportunity to review it. We'll try to send it out at least a day before or so, before our next meeting. I also wanted to report, and James did say it, usually we don't have all the stations closed in order for us to pull a consolidated statement. So we don't have October's numbers as of yet, but we will have them in plenty of time for everyone to review them prior to our next call this month.
Anita, this is James. I did have a question about the central services.
Yes, sir.
Does that reflect the correction that we worked on regarding the bequest to WBI that was inaccurately credited to the national office?
I don't think so. Actually, I was making myself a note on that because I just remembered it, and that what triggered was your agenda. Also on it, quite frankly. Let me look that up after my report to make sure. I don't think
Great.
It's been things.
Okay, well, as long as we can, you know, make sure we update it, I think we need to go back to it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And also the other report that we generally supply is the accounts payable report for the national office. Again, total outstanding is $229,000. 201, and the largest vendor is still NETA at $140,615. We also have the Advocates for Justice, $25,000. And again, that is also part of the second report that I sent out about 7 p.m. today. Some of you were on the audit committee call last night, so you know the progress that's being made there. So I won't comment on that. We are watching cash flow very close, as James indicated. So far, we're tracking as predicted, essentially. Any questions off of that?
This is Sharon. I have a question, couple questions.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Thanks, Anita, for your report. So I might have asked this before, but I can't remember. Who is Orbital Media Networks, Inc. on the accounts payable report?
I think you have asked that before. Somebody has. I think it has come up. And I know we had an answer for it. Do you mind if I take a moment to look? I'll get back.
Yeah, it's fine. I know. I had the thought. We've talked about this before, and it seems to make sense, but then I couldn't recall. I do have a couple other
sure.
questions. Of course, I see NETA is still $140,000. At least it's somewhat being paid down, so that's, I guess, somewhat good news, not just continuing to grow. I do have a question about Advocates for Justice. Reading this, it looks like over 60 is 10,000, over 30 is 5,000. So if I've got that right, it means that 15,000 was accrued in the last. What does that mean when it shows it like that? $25,000 owed.
Well, that's probably what that means, actually, if we didn't get the invoice. You know, that is your current attorney. So maybe we haven't received that $5,000 invoice. And if it came in, if staff is trying to get current with anything outstanding, it was added all at one time. But I'd be happy to send you a copy of the invoice.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Paulina with a question.
Go ahead, Paulina. Were you done? Was the last speaker
done?
Thank you.
Yep, I was done.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Okay. This is about how we are booking our contributions when they come from sustaining members. So let's say somebody pledges to pay $10 a month, right, to contribute $10 a month to a particular station. How is that being booked right now, Anita? Because I think that's the question that's relevant to our when we're making our budget to be able to understand. You know, we're on a cash, right? Cash, not accrual basis. So we've been having a few questions regarding that in our local committee. And I think that maybe if you could clarify what's expected from your standpoint.
Unfortunately, well, let me start with your last comment. One of the things that I've always wanted, and I think now can be done for those stations that are on Allegiance, is also having the documentation. I don't mean the name of the donor or anything, but just the dollar amount so we can tie it back to the cash that's received. You see what I'm saying? So we do know that cash is accurate because the majority of the bank statements we're reconciling anyway. So forth, we're tying that to cash, if you will.
Right.
At the station level where those dollars are going, if you will. So in other words, the different line items that they're designating those funds. That is, in fact, what we're doing, because we're not changing that, of course. We would have no way of knowing if it were any different. Does that answer?
Right. Almost, yeah. That's helpful. But also, and apologies if maybe I'm approaching this at a very, very rudimentary level. But let's say if somebody pledges and they, they're being their credit card is charged every month for, like, let's say $10 a month. Should that be placed as in the line item for $420, right? Or should that be logged as a for each particular month, right? For those 12 months that the person has pledged and is in fact making those contributions.
Oh, well, let me answer your question if I can. The when you have someone that is contributing and they're going to pay $120 over a year, then only the dollars received for that month is what's recognized.
Right. That makes sense, of course. Well, thank you. And do you know if that's the common practice for all stations?
It is common practice in public media. I would say definitely for within Pacifica.
Yeah, that's really what I'm trying to get at. Is Pacifica
sure.
Following common practice in public media that relies on sustainer members?
Right. The only time that we true up at year end or look at it is any pledges, if you will. And that is pledges that have not been received. Again, I'm hopeful that in that allegiance report that we'll be able to get a little bit more reporting mechanism, if you will, to be able to review those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, it will be helpful for us to understand how those numbers are being
right.
logged into allegiance. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I have a couple myself, but anybody else? Not hearing anyone. I'll ask. I'm sorry, who's that?
This
Teresa?
Is Nancy.
Nancy.
I just wanted to report that I'm here.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that. Let me ask a question or two, and then others can think of questions if they have them. You just mentioned allegiance, Anita, and I just wonder if you could, we have a history where some of our stations are, WBI, for example, are just getting ready to adopt allegiance. Other stations have been using it. At least one, I think, has decided that they don't like it very much. Others, may have a better opinion. What's your opinion of allegiance? I know it seems to offer a lot of capabilities that we're struggling with now that would be good. Do you find it to be helpful to other public media clients that you have? And what's your general opinion of it?
Well, I mean, our opinion of it is probably, I'm here again speaking for my department also. I think universally it is a very good product. I think it does take a long time, especially if that database before it's brought in needs to be cleaned up, of a lot of perhaps donations that are there or information. To be able to verify or have good dollar amount, what we see is really the reporting. In other words, at least monthly or quarterly, we like to be able to review, again, not with names, but with total dollars, as far as total dollars received in that monthly period, because you want to be able to tie that back to the general ledger. Also, any pledge dollars, because then that's going to tell you, obviously, it's going to help with cash flow. And that is either sustainers, if you will, gives us a better insight to what cash flow is going to look like, 3 or 6 months down the road. But we do have the ability to look at those reports with the other clients that we work with.
And does it also help generate things like reminders for pledges that haven't come in, reminder or, you know, requests for when credit card numbers expire, or, you know, reminding people about credit card expiration? I don't know if it helps with tax letters or tax notices. What's your understanding of those aspects?
I think it's all in the setup. I'm sure that it does track that now for, I would think, credit card expiration. In other words, someone gives you a credit card and you will debit that every month or quarterly per the donor desire. But if that's going to expire, I think it would give you some kind of warning. But it's got to be able to have the capability to do that. In other words, you set up, you design a report, and again, probably done in the beginning to see if it can generate that.
So the hard part really is cleaning up your data, entering it, and getting the thing up and running. But once it's up and running, it really is a big help.
Yes, yes. And again, it's great for year-end reports for your auditors, because it's a verification of revenue for them also.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a product that's very commonly used in public broadcasting.
Yes, I'm very hopeful. And now I have another question on in another area, and then I'll go back and ask if anyone else has any other questions. But in that audit committee meeting that you referenced that took place last night, your representative George was there, and he did a great job of filling us in and answering questions. One question that I asked was whether or not we have any way, for example, when we get a donation from someone, we know that over time, sometimes donations have been accounted for incorrectly. They're placed in the wrong category or in terms of the accounting, or sometimes a donation that is should be in one category ends up being in a different one. And I asked him, for example, if a major donation came in, and if it was for Pacifica or if it was for a station, but it was delivered to a station, how can we check to make sure that it's allocated in the proper way? And George basically said that we have to, that what we do is we unless it's picked up in a random sample during an audit, it would be, we rely on the personnel at the station who is determining what bank account that check should go into, and we don't have any mechanism at NEDA or in any other location in the network other than that station that it initially goes to check to see if things are going to the right places. Do you have any comment on that?
Actually, my comment would be the same as George, and I'll expand a little bit on it. And the reason for it is because, you know, we're taking the information that is in the accounting software in your product or the product of the station. So for those, that information essentially is already there. So, again, unless if something stands out and we have the opportunity to ask the question at that time, again, they would have to send us either a copy of the check, if you will, for us to be able to see maybe that should have come to the national office or to another station. See, we wouldn't know because that check, unless if it was copied, has already gone to the bank, hopefully.
Does well, I'm thinking sense? Back now to that income that WBAI had in the form of a bequest that was credited to the national office by mistake, and the national office got credit for the income and WBAI didn't get credit for having made, you know, it was supposed to be allocated to central services payments, and we didn't get that credit, and it really lay dormant for a couple of years without anybody figuring out what happened. So is there a way that we could do that? Is there a way, for example, we could flag checks over a certain amount of money so that somebody could, you know, do an eyeball check to make sure that the checks are properly made out and they're being allocated in the right places?
But we don't see the checks. That's the problem. I think my comment, if a station receives a contribution or donation of a substantial amount, and the intention is that we credit central services, I'm hoping, because that happened a couple of years ago, I'm hoping now that they would reach out to any of us, Tamara, myself, or George, and say, make sure that I am credited for this amount to central services, and stay on us to make sure that that's done. I mean, I don't know what happened 2 years ago, but if you see...
But it was a different CFO, it was a different,
yes,
whole different regime.
Right. But our situation still is that we don't see the funds that are being deposited. So we do have to rely on staff should something come to them that really is not intended for that station, which is really what you're asking me, correct?
Yeah, I am, yeah. If a check comes in for $100,000 and it's made out to the national office and a particular station just puts it in their own bank account, how are we going to be aware of that? Is there any system you can think of that would flag large checks at least so we could keep an eye on that? Because it has been a problem more than once in the past.
Right. I think with the exception that we ask the station staff that they send us a copy of that check as soon as they receive it for anything over, let's say, $50,000, and let us look at it.
Got it. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate everybody's patience while we went through that. Is there any, Teresa?
Yeah, I also have a question. So I have a question about the donation that's with KPFT, a property that might be in probate. So is there a best way to handle something like that so we make sure that someone is keeping an eye on it?
Well, I mean, something like that, obviously, I have it on every note, every piece of paper, because we're not going to forget something that large. So I know about it. Obviously, we can't record anything until we have some paperwork in hand. But, yes, that will not go undone, obviously.
Well, is there an employee at the national level that's following up on it to see where it is?
Not. We've not been asked, to my knowledge. I've not had a discussion with anyone about it other than the discussion on calls that I have participated in.
So would it be the CFO that follows up on it, or would it be the station development director or the station general manager? Who is actually following up on something like that?
I think right now no one is, but I would be delighted to follow up on it.
Well, I would be delighted for this committee to help us with who should be following up on it.
Whatever the desire of the group.
Mr. Chair,
Teresa, would you like to make a motion, or maybe bring it next time, or do you want to work it out right now? I'm thinking about a motion on the question I asked about sending a copy of any check over a certain amount of money to Anita, and I don't know if we should take the time to work that out, the language of such a thing now, or whether we should work on it and bring it next time.
Maybe next time. I don't have a background in finance, so I don't know who in our organization would follow up on things like that. But I would like, it concerns me when somebody says, well, nobody's following up on it, because I hate to keep bringing it up like, well, we've dropped the thread. But we could drop the thread, you know, because nobody's following up on it. So Maybe by next, we put it on the agenda, so at the next meeting someone might have a proposal as to how we handle that.
Sure. Could you send me, you know, just do a rough draft of what your concerns are and send that to me, and then I'll see if, you know, who we can consult and to work it into appropriate language so that, you know, we could name appropriate people or people in, you know, the appropriate positions.
I'll do that.
I appreciate
that.
Thank you. Anybody else with any? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that Anita?
No, it was not.
Mr. Chair, this is Paulina with a question, if I may.
Fred.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Great.
And Fred, you're next.
Okay. I've already spoken. I can wait till someone else asks their question, or I can just go. Let me just go so we don't waste time.
Yes.
Okay. So the question is the following. For instance, according to KPFK, business manager, the way our accounting is being done is the following. If a donor becomes a sustainer for $10 a month, that means they pledged $120 this drive. Can you comment on whether that makes sense as far as correct accounting, and how do you, for instance, use the word to pledge?
A pledge is when I tell you I'm going to give you $1,000, but that does not mean that I've given it to you already. It's
right.
A promise to give. So
mm-hmm.
A pledge, I'm assuming, is entered in allegiance at that point. I'm sure there's some transaction that has to exist. A card or has received a letter, and that individual has decided, yes, I'm going to contribute. So that information should be immediately captured, if you will, but it's still a pledge. No dollars have exchanged hands yet.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a donation. It's still a pledge, right? Okay.
Correct.
And allegiance is able to obviously capture that difference, and that's something that stations should be mindful of, right?
Correct.
Obviously. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Fred, were you done, Paulina?
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, Fred.
Anita, I have a question about the station payments spreadsheet that you sent us today. I notice under payroll that KPFK hasn't paid $116,000 as of this statement. Can you be more specific on that?
No, I can't. I mean, I'm looking at it now. A combination of FY20, which is $42,000. And then the $74,000 is more current. But keep in mind, I'm sure the larger amount is severance pay, if you will, for some employees, and that's why that dollar amount is higher.
Okay. I was just trying to get more details on this. We have a local finance committee tomorrow, and I'd like to go over it. Okay, thank you.
I can do a breakout of that and send you the details.
I would appreciate it.
Sure. I'll provide it. Okay.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions, James.
I was just going to ask Anita if Fred, if you wouldn't mind, if she would copy me on that as well. Because I'm trying to attend that finance committee meeting.
I'd be happy to do that, James.
Thank you. Anybody else have any other questions?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay, talking about the Pacifica Station payments and the unpaids, Okay, central services for the two things I get, and the there are two stations that haven't been paying the benefits, so what are the ramifications of they haven't been paying the benefits? Is this something where, oh, we'll fill it in later, or is this something that could, you know, have an impact on us because we didn't pay the benefits and we're going to get nailed by the state or something?
No, I mean, those dollars have been paid by the national office, so it would be a reimbursement back, if you will.
Oh, okay. And then we get down to payroll, and I'm seeing stations that haven't been that have an unpaid in payroll, and so this is also, I guess, the national office has paid this, and this is going to be a bill back?
Correct.
Okay.
You're welcome. Any
Are
other
you done, Arpo?
Yeah.
Yes, any other questions?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Teresa. Go ahead.
Okay. I know that I missed the last meeting because I was working, and I know that the Finance Committee has reviewed the KPFK budget, and that we're asking that the KPFT budget be either reviewed by the Finance Committee or that the Finance Committee generate it. My question is, how long would National Office be expected to make payroll before we would expect layoffs or hiring freezes or such from the various stations? Or for that matter, it could be the archives or it could be the affiliates, for example. How long would National Office be expected to make payroll before the stations would be asked to make cuts so they don't have to do that?
Well, quite, I don't mind telling you, the National Office does not have, I mean, there's some dollars, there's very few. We did make payroll, so, of course, funds come in from the stations, so if we're not getting any money, then we're also not able to pay our vendors. And, you know, not this current payroll, but before we actually felt that we might have to rely on the station or the affiliates to make payroll. So to answer your question, I don't know, but I know that I have reported that I feel that we're living from week to week. I still stand by that statement. I can go back and do an analysis of all the costs and kind of tell you when I think we're going to run out. But in some cases, I can help you. We're very close. Does that make sense? Unless if the pledge drives are starting to generate more money or more money starts to come in. But we really go through this same scenario every payroll.
Mr. Chair, this committee approves these budgets, right? And if it looks like our various stations are not living up to what's in their budgets, wouldn't we be asked to take action?
Well, we're going to start reviewing the budgets, I imagine, perhaps even at our next meeting. And then we have a motion that we sent to the PMB and came back as a resolution that if we don't get budgets from stations, we'll start as of 2 weeks from the last PNB meeting, start trying to cobble together budgets with whatever available financial information that we can put together, hopefully with contributions from the general managers and finance committees. So that's, you know, that's where we are in the timeline. That's where we're going to be. That's what we're going to be doing. KPFA was the first station to bring in a budget, and we assume that budget is probably going to be balanced. And
thank you, KPFA.
We get into the ones, you know, that are going to be problematic. And I should note, I wanted to note also, just for a second, Arpal, you had asked a question earlier about a hiring freeze. Technically, we do have a hiring freeze in place right now. That's a PNB-mandated hiring freeze. There's not supposed to be any new hiring going on in the network. Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. I got to get a new telephone cord. Yes. The interim CFO suggested she could give us an estimate of, what is it, where we'll run out, approximately when. Would you please, in fact, give us that? Because I'd really like to know if the calculations now show something that concrete.
Sure. Give me a few days. As all of you know, I think we did provide a overall cash flow analysis. So really, I'll go through that, update it, contact the stations to see how pledge is going. I know the averages that we had taken were a little bit higher than what is actually happening. So all that taken into consideration, and then outgoing payments or what have you, things that have to be paid. But we'll get you something to look at.
Okay, thank you. I think that would be a sobering and important thing for everybody involved in stuff in Pacifica to see.
Okay.
This is Paulina.
Agreed. Thank you, Arpal. Go ahead, Paulina.
If Arpal is finished, of course. Just a very brief comment on your comments that you said that there is a hiring freeze. Absolutely. But it's a hiring freeze subject to exceptions or revisions or by the PNB, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was the resolution that the PNB passed. Am I not correct?
That is correct. And there's also apparently a wide exception for consultants, which are not considered employees. So we have to be vigilant about that.
Yeah, that could be problematic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, how are we being vigilant about consultants?
Not so much, would be my immediate off-the-cuff answer. You mean, the mechanism for doing so?
Yes. What is the mechanism for hiring consultants, and would Anita see it?
Well, it would be in the it will come out in the audits, and it'll come out in the financial reports. There are line items for consultants.
So have we had some consultants that have ended up there that I haven't seen because I'm challenged?
I know we've had them at WBAI. I don't recall immediately the situation at the other stations. Anita, do you have any information?
I've not
immediately
seen
that comes to mind?
None that come to mind, but I will check on it tomorrow because we would also see it on the payroll.
Right.
I will ask my payroll person and get back.
Anita.
Sure.
Just to add a little something, Teresa, that's also something that we've had discussions about in the past when stations list someone as a consultant. There are certain Department of Labor descriptions of what is a consultant and what is an employee. And if a person is working regular hours, if they don't determine their own hours of work, and if they don't determine when their work product is due. There's a list of criteria which determines whether a person is actually a consultant or actually should be considered an employee, and there are fines and other things that can come into play if you're playing a little fast and loose with the consultants. It's an advantage to some employers, because if you have a consultant instead of an employee, you can avoid paying certain benefits, certain rules like overtime and other things of that sort can be avoided if a person is being paid as a consultant.
Yeah, but a consultant's different than a contract employee.
True.
So if a GM...
No, excuse me, I'm sorry, this is Sharon. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
If I could just have a point of information, I believe a consultant is the same as a contract.
Yeah, thank you,
I mean,
Sharon. That's
I'm not sure what you mean by contract employee, but if it's somebody that's just under contract, they're a consultant versus an employee is a defined position.
Correct.
If a general manager wants to hire a contract employee or what you call a consultant, they don't have to get permission from anyone?
Who is that question for?
Or I guess you, Mr. Chair, or maybe you can ask the committee. So they can hire someone, and is there and can they increase the hours of someone that is a consultant?
For example, I think Christine Blosdale is considered a consultant when she's used around the network and is paid per instance where her pitch is used. I think that comes under consultant, and depending on how many times it's used, she gets a certain fee. So, yes, it can go up and down depending on the amount of usage. That's one example.
So if it's not budgeted, does the general manager to hire a consultant need to get permission from anyone? And how would we know?
I would guess that that's the job of the IED to be managing that or keeping an eye on it. And we would know, as Anita said, because it comes up in the financials. You know, if the money's going out, it'll be noted.
And if we change, and if an employee gives notice, and then we hire that person as a consultant, then that would be clear in our budgets. I saw that, for example, that we were spending $20,000 on payroll. That includes both, so we can't tell whether a person is being paid as a consultant or paid as an employee, right? Who sees the difference?
Well, the person that generates the payroll, in other words, the form comes in also if one of the station managers wants to hire, has hired someone, we get the paperwork coming in because that has to be set up through the payroll. So I either know it from that point or when the payroll, if you will, is a larger dollar amount, if you will. So we would know it regardless through the paperwork. Especially
but would
because
the treasurer know?
Pardon me?
Is it reflected then in the budget? Would I see it when I see the paperwork from you?
Well, if it's been budgeted, it'd be in there, but I'm not sure that it would be budgeted, if you see what I'm saying. Unless if someone resigned and then that position was being replaced, then yes, the dollars should still be in the budget. If the budget is correct, if you will.
Our Paul, we had a half an hour for questions. We had a 15 minutes for the report. I think we must be close to being out of time for this item, but we have a discussion of the central services formula next. Chris Corey is not here. We could take some extra time to discuss this matter, or we could, I guess we would have to approve an extension.
Well, God, we shouldn't have put in seven then. All right, so, yeah, you can, sure, anybody can make an extension right now if you want to.
Teresa, did you want to get more information on that, on this?
I would like to say maybe we need to consider, maybe, Mr. Chair, you might want to consider putting on the agenda. Members might want to give some thought as to moving forward. We need to decide on procedures about how we hire consultants. But no, I don't want to discuss it anymore at this time. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Again, like with the other issue, if you want to put some rough thoughts together and send me an email. I think there have been conversations, there have been discussions of this, of these issues in the past, and perhaps we could draw on some of that historical information as well. Okay, so now, shall we move to number six? Or I guess it's now number seven, central services formula. I think we should probably discuss it for a little while and just see where we are and what we're thinking. So why don't we move ahead to that? And specifically, I'll just preface the conversation by saying that, you know, we need to come up with a central services formula so we can figure out what the national, you know, we can make a budget, the national office can have a budget. One of the things we've been discussing about the central services formula is what about the stations that either are not or cannot pay their central services? Is there going to be any allotment for that in the central services, or should we just go ahead and figure out a formula for central services, apply it across the board, and then when people don't pay it, deal with it on the other side? And specifically, traditionally, WBAI has had a lesser amount of central services due, and I think that was in recognition of the high cost of the tower and the rent for the office space in New York City that is more or less in the nature of an extraordinary expense compared to the other stations. But now we also have a situation where KPFK is talking about in their own finance committee asking for a reduction in the central services that they are asked to pay. We know that at KPFT, there's a request that's number 10 on our budget, where there's was a discussion for a suggested moratorium on central services for KPFT. Do we want to open that can of worms, which I'm opening as I speak? Anybody have any comments? Any discussion on that?
Well, are we going to discuss it when we get to 10?
Well, I put that on because I think we had a conversation about this on the national board, and Lydia more or less recommended against it, but on a further review, it was referred back to the finance committee. So I think we need to discuss it. And, you know, of course we can figure out what to do once we do. So it's part of that. It's part of that discussion. It's part of the same discussion.
Our poll for stack.
Go ahead. Our poll.
We'll meet us for the stack afterwards.
Okay. Since we're on central services formula, no, it would be real folly to just say, here's the formula, that's it. We'll see what happens. We've already had the interim CFO telling us in previous meetings we're approaching a tipping point. Tonight, it sounds like she can actually make a calculation that will be pretty good at forecasting when we run into a wall